What is up, everybody? We are here with another episode of the Telling Stories podcast. I'm John Paul.
I'm John. Oh my God, we're doing it again.
We're here. We're here again.
Can't stop. Can't be Won't censored. Stop. We can be censored, actually. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Not in my head.
No, not in my head.
In my head, we're doing great.
Yeah. We got like 2 views. Shooting for 3 this episode. Don't let us down.
Just moving on up.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we did get? We got our first piece of hate mail.
We did get our first piece of hate mail.
We on our Facebook page, facebook.com/tellingstoriespc, for all you that want to know. Someone sent us a message that said, kill yourself. So yes. We're moving on up in the world.
We're getting hate mail. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it fuels me, you know?
You know what it is? What? In the words of James Franco, they're peanut butter and jealous.
They are peanut butter and jelly. You're right.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Anus. I think he says anus.
Does he say it? Yeah, I think he does. It's been a crazy week, dude. Landlord came around and put notices on every door but mine.
Why
in
that?
My building. So I'm a little nosy.
Okay.
And I may have
Me
walked
too.
Past.
I'm a gossipy bitch. I love hot goss.
I may have come in and glanced out the corner of my eye on what was stapled or taped to all of the doors in my building. And of the 12 units, we are the only one that are on time with rent.
Hey.
Everyone else is behind on rent. So,
way to go.
Yeah. You know,
you're doing it.
We're doing something.
That's
right.
The American dream. Paying your rent on time.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
do you know what else is the American dream?
What?
The eviction moratorium.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. Our buildings are owned by the same company.
Yeah.
Right? They are? Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. So at least they put your eviction notices on the doors of the tenants. For ours, they just do it on, like, the front door of the building. So
Stop.
Everybody knows, like, hey, this guy's getting evicted. You know, hasn't been me. Not yet.
Not this time.
Not this time. It's come close. It's come really close.
You ever been in a situation where you go, can I put rent on a credit card?
Yeah. Well, no, because my credit card was completely full, like completely maxed out. Like it would have like $3 on it and be like, oh shit, I can't even buy a Milky Way because they're like $2.89 for some goddamn reason. And I'm like, how am I going to afford rent?
Yeah, I had to do it one time and it was just because I had a whole bunch of money that was owed to me, including my ridiculously high security deposit.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they thought I was just going to ruin the whole building.
Well.
And I'm like, you know what?
Your neighbors did.
Yeah, you know what? I can just put this on this card and then I can use the security deposit to pay it off.
I just feel like something feels wrong in me. Like when I do that, like when I use
it, when you start doing that fake math, like you're actually going to do what you said.
Yeah. Like anytime I put anything on a credit card, it's like, something's not right here. And I know it's basically free money. So I just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah. You know, that apartment that happened with, that was my one in East Lansing that we used to go out to and
the,
go hang.
The one that was underwater?
The one that was almost underwater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't underwater. It was water adjacent after that massive flood.
Yeah. That's like, it wasn't water adjacent. There was no water that was supposed to be there. And then we're looking at this.
All of a sudden, I've got lakefront property.
Yeah. Which is cool. You know, people buy that.
Was it? Because we were just, you know, hanging out one night and one of our friends goes, oh my God, JP, isn't that your apartment complex?
Yeah, that friend was me. That was me.
I thought it was Kevin.
Kevin was showing me the flooding.
That's right.
And I was like, holy shit, JP, that's your apartment.
And I'm like, oh.
It was literally your porch. Like, we could see your porch.
Do you remember the
underwater
crazy neighbor I had there, though? The one that had a little bit of an addiction problem? I was thinking about him the other day because I was at the dentist.
Oh.
And I was like freaking out. And he's like, we can give you laughing gas, but I'm like cheap. I'm like, I do a cost benefit analysis of like, is this going to hurt physically more than it would hurt my wallet?
Okay.
And that's how I decide if I'm actually going to get the laughing gas.
What a good, what a strange problem to have. Like my pain versus my wallet.
And my dentist looked at me and he went, son, you're going to want to use the laughing gas. It's on me.
Oh shit. Oh shit. You don't want to hear that.
No, you don't want to hear that. So I was panicking till he put the laughing gas on me, and I was like, "Oh, this is the greatest thing ever." And it reminded me of my neighbor when we were taking out the garbage that one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to lob the garbage bags onto the overfilled dumpsters because they never cleared them in time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he went to go, we lobbed ours and it was fine. And he went to lob his and 1,000 Whippet cans. Yeah, blew
it was so many. And like he like looks at them and then he looks at us and I'm like, I'm not saying a goddamn thing. I'm going to pretend I didn't see this.
Well, I looked at him and I went, do you play, because at first I thought they were like airsoft.
Yeah.
Canisters. I'm like, do you play airsoft? And he's like, nah.
He was going to think of a lie, but he couldn't.
He just gave up. He couldn't think that
quickly, probably because he was high on Whippets. Yeah. You know, neighbors are funny. I've had two apartments, including the one I'm currently living in. And both times I lived across the hall from like a nice lesbian couple, which is totally cool, right? Love that. But something must be like in my aura or something that every time I move across the hall from a lesbian couple, one of them cheats on the other one and they have a huge fight, like screaming and throwing pots and pans at each other. And then one moves out. And like it's happened at the previous apartment, it's happened at this one, and like
so you're starting to think it's you.
I'm starting to think it's me. Like two times, like it's not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened two times. You know what I mean?
It's starting to not look like maybe it's you.
Like what are the odds?
Yeah, dude.
Do you think that they're like, man, that new bitch across the hall looks pretty good, and they're talking about me?
They're talking about you.
Yeah, like I have that.
Like they see you and they're just like, oh, another one.
Mm-hmm. She's cute. I think we talked about how I get mistaken for a woman all the fucking time.
Yeah, I think we talked about that. That's a...
Yeah.
I mean...
It's because I have breasts. Probably.
Your wide-set birthing hips.
Yeah, I've got nice hips. Big ol' ass on me. Let's move it forward. Let's move past this topic.
I'm lucky here. My neighbors like me.
Yeah.
But I think it was because there was like a... there was an important moment when I moved in here.
Okay.
And it was not a moment that I was prepared for in any way, mainly because when it happened, I was basically asleep.
Right.
One morning, 9 a.m. on a Saturday, my doorbell rings.
No, I don't answer.
I don't care if you're my mother.
It could be any time on any day. I won't answer the door. Like I'll get a DoorDash. I won't answer the door. I'm like, just drop it. I'll come get it.
I'll come get it when I'm good and ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's how I usually, if I'm not expecting like a package or like any person in particular, if you ring my bell, that's a no-go, friend.
Yeah.
Don't
do that.
But it woke me up because this bell is loud as shit, and it's like one of those security bell sounds. Like it's that really freaking loud.
Yeah.
It's gonna wake you up. So it woke me up. I'm like, a bitch. Like, well, they'll leave when I don't answer the door.
Yeah, that's my strategy. I just wait them out.
Yeah, I didn't wait them out because they hit the bell again. I was like just falling asleep. I was like, fuck!
Right.
And I'm like, no, they're going to go. I'm going to win this war of attrition. And then they held my button for 5 minutes.
They're like, he'll answer eventually.
He'll come down.
I hate that shit.
So I'm furious. It's middle of summer. I go downstairs in sandals, basketball shorts, no shirt.
Nice. Now that's hot. I like that. you should come over one. And meet my neighbors. I bet they'd love to see that.
I go down there and I'm furious and I'm ready to rip someone a new asshole until I realize the person that is repeatedly slamming the button for my door is two Michigan State police officers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't fight them.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Why are they here on a Saturday at 9 a.m.? This can't be good for me.
They're probably mad as shit, too. They got to do something.
On a Saturday?
Yeah.
And, like, also, because, like, eventually, like, it echoes through the building when one of those alarms gets hit. Everybody's awake. So everyone's peeking their head out.
Yeah.
Looking. And it's my job, because they're ringing my bell, to deal with the police.
Dude.
And I don't want to put myself in a situation where my neighbors are uncomfortable with me because how I deal with the police. This was last summer during like all the riots that were going on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta play this right. And I'm also looking like I'm tripped out on meth and like no someone shirt. That is going to be tased that day.
Yeah. Like when I think of people that get tased, I'm like, they never have a shirt on.
Like cheap basketball shorts from like Walmart and sandals. You need something to ground yourself.
Yeah.
So the rubber soles really help.
Yeah. It's like the meth like just makes you pick that outfit.
And that's exactly how I look. So already not starting off on a good foot.
Yeah.
And I've got an audience watching how I handle this specific situation.
I like this. This is like, what's it called when everyone just like pops up and starts dancing and shit? What is that called?
Like a flash mob?
Flash mob. Yeah. So it's like a weird flash mob.
It's a flash mob. But the people we're flash mobbing have guns.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like being on the receiving end of that. So I open the door and I go, because I'm also still asleep. Can I fucking help you?
Mm-hmm. You're off to a great start.
Yeah, already. And then like as it came out of my mouth, because I let Sleep John Paul handle that.
Yeah.
And as we've established in previous episodes, that guy should never be in control.
Can I just say, everybody, you should definitely answer the cops at your door with, can I fucking help you? I'm sure they love it.
They love it. It makes them super happy.
Yeah, they love hearing that all the time. So keep doing it.
So they look me up and down, and then they're like,
nice.
We're looking for the people in 302. And like, my girlfriend's up here,
yeah,
asleep.
Right.
My cat's up here, asleep. Like, I don't want any more of a scene than I already have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's me, man. What do you want? Because I just want to go back to bed.
Jesus. Like,
he's like, we're looking for Tanisha. And I looked at him and I go,
that's not me.
I go, do I look like Tanisha? And he goes, well, no. At which point, one of my neighbors goes, oh shit,
yeah, this is
this is gonna go real bad.
You got very lucky because this was a recipe for disaster.
This was a super recipe for disaster because now they're being goaded.
Yeah, they're gonna like take out that nightstick and just, you know, just pop you.
Well, also when I opened the door, it's one of those like big security doors that locks, which is why they needed to be buzzed up.
Yeah.
And I opened it that like that 3 inches, like I've dealt with the police before.
Oh dude, every time every time someone comes to like my window, like, you know, at Wayne State, like people just come up to your window because they want money and shit.
Yeah.
If for some reason I can't get away, I'll just roll it down like a quarter inch. I'm like, what do you need? And they gotta like lift their head
like,
up.
Like, I can't hear you. And it's like, I can hear you. That's all that matters.
Yeah, what do you need?
So yeah, I'm doing that. Like this is not a peak scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, can we come up and look?
No.
And I went, no. And he's like, why not? I'm like, well, I don't see a warrant in your hand. At that point, 3 of my neighbors go, oh shit. And like, now I'm starting to get jazzed up, like I'm gonna win.
Yeah, you got like 15 seconds before they get tired of you.
And they're like, I'm like, can I help you with anything else? And they're like, I guess not, we'll be back around. And all I'm right. Like, that's fine. Have a nice day. And I closed the door. I got dabs from all of my neighbors as I walked up the stairs. It was like, you know, just going through the pile. Everyone's like, yeah, fuck those guys. This is great. And then when I got to my apartment, I called MSP and very nicely and politely explained the situation.
Yeah, because you don't want them to come back and kick your fucking door in. Yeah.
Shoot my cat.
Like, it was coming right for him.
Yeah, I don't need that. So yeah, that was how I handled the situation. But like, since then, all of my neighbors are cool with me. It's great. It's wonderful.
I just,
that's not always been the case.
It's cool. You like defend them from, you know, search and seizure, and I just like break up couples. That's all I do. I can't think of any other impact I've ever had on someone, like a neighbor, you know.
I almost stabbed one of my neighbors at my parents' house.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a wild ride.
Why is that?
So it was Halloween. So we had the door open. And I was in eighth grade, so my dad had decided I was too old to go trick-or-treating anymore.
Right.
So that was fine. I was chilling, handing out candy / eating that candy.
Yeah.
It all works out. But I'd walked like into the kitchen, and the kitchen is like a straight shot from the front door. And a screen door is open, and in walks a person dressed in a ghoul outfit.
Nah, son.
And nah. They run right at me, but I'm in the kitchen right next to the knife block.
Yeah, and you took one out.
And I grabbed that, and I'm like, him or me. And as I reach back, because I'm going to drive this 10-inch chef knife directly into his skull, my neighbor throws his mask off and is like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, no,
that's how you learn.
My parents stopped handing candy out for Halloween. I assume to avoid the same scenario. Yeah, or they just don't like anybody.
Oh man,
no, it's funny. Like, I like how like my dad would fight with the neighbors, you know, like shouting matches didn't really happen all that often.
When they did,
it were really funny. But like my dad would,
and
like,
your dad's cold-blooded.
Yeah,
like your dad, I don't ever want to get in a fist fight with your dad because he's a scary man.
My man is 64. He'd throw me out the window. But he would, so the next door neighbor at my parents' house would always mow his lawn at like 9:30 at night, and my dad like couldn't handle that shit. Like it would just get in his brain, and like he just hear the mower going over and over again. He's like, that motherfucker. So my dad would start mowing the lawn like even later to like piss him off, you know. He's like, I can mow it later than you can, bitch. So this guy would like then start mowing it even later. So it would be 11 o'clock at night and he's mowing the lawn.
Two lawnmowers. Yeah. You're dueling lawnmowers in the yard.
Like, this is the stupidest fucking thing.
Your dad's going and buying like searchlights so he can see.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'll show him. No, they never fought. They would just like try to outdo each other with their lawnmower.
Passive aggressive. It's like, let's see
who,
shit.
It's like, I'll show you who can mow it later. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
I remember when they turned the field behind your parents' house into a new housing development.
Oh yeah, so it used to be all like open field, right? So it used
just first, an open field, Ned.
Yeah, it used to all be forest.
Yes,
and you know, we came in, cut down all that nice nature, but there was still like a tree line in there, you know.
Yeah.
So my dad would just like look out and everything. He'd be super happy, and then like
it was exactly what he wanted. He was living his American dream.
Yeah, and then literally they had the house for 20 some years.
Just happy every morning looking out on the forest.
Like he sees like this, it was bought, and then they start digging all these fucking like basements and everything. And I would like wake up early as hell to go to work, because some days I would work at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'd wake up to him just like sitting at the kitchen table staring out the window, like he'd just be drinking coffee mad as shit every morning.
I remember the first time I came over to your parents' house after that house was built. And I walked in, said hi to your ma, said hi to your brother and you, and your dad's just standing in the window,
yeah,
not acknowledging anybody, just staring.
Yeah.
I'm like, how you doing, Mr. Vollmer? Fine.
Yep.
Fine.
Yep.
Everything's fine. I'm like, oh.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he was really
And you
pissed.
Were like, just don't ask him about the house.
Yeah, it's like, just don't. Everything's ruined. We got to move now.
Yeah,
it's because you can't fucking shoot golf balls out of it anymore.
Shoot out into the woods.
But yeah, so for everybody that doesn't know my dad, he loves golf, and he would literally be in our living room with a driver, like a golf club driver, with the back wall open, and he'd just blast these fucking golf balls out, and he'd like hit the same, like there was like a trash can, he'd crack that trash can every single time.
It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he wouldn't care. He would just fucking launch it.
I liked when you'd go to the driving range that's bumps right up against that cemetery.
Yeah.
And they'd have to come tell him, like, hey,
you need to stop hitting it so far because we're losing all of our balls. Because he would have me sit there for hours with him when I was a little kid, you know?
So your Game Boy died. It was fine.
Yeah, like, and he'd just sit there and he'd hit a large bucket of balls, and I'd like, this is the worst moment of my life, you know? And it happened all the time. So he'd hit like 500 balls. He's like, go get me two more. I'm like, fuck. Fuck. And then
you're like, four.
Yeah, those things were so
like
heavy.
A child slave.
Those things were so goddamn heavy.
They really are.
And then he'd hit those, and then he'd be like, go get me another one. No, no.
Please let
me go. I
want to
go home. Please, sir. And he never would.
I remember when we first both got like our first real jobs, like full-time jobs, and I was like, we need to come up with like a hobby. Let's go golfing. And I got to see the PTSD flashback in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, not golf.
It's like every 4th of July. You know, you...
Dear God.
Everything, like, you see, like, some people just can't handle it, which is really, you know, upsetting. But yeah, I can't, I still can't go near...
safe.
Yeah, I still can't go near a golf course, because I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna have to be here all day,
all
you know?
Day.
And I don't hate it. You know?
I've 100%ed Pokemon Yellow 4 times yeah. in the last month.
Oh, I would spend all fucking day there.
Oh.
You know, on my one of my 2 days off, I'd have to go to the driving range for 8 hours a day. And then the other one of my 2 days off, I'd have to get up and go to church. Thankfully, they stopped doing that. Glad we could get that over with.
See, my mom's thing during the summer was that pool we had.
Oh, yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah,
that
we had cool. one of those little round pools with the inflatable ring.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like semi-permanent.
Yeah.
So it was permanent for the summer.
Yeah.
And that thing was her white whale.
Jeez. Like,
she would get up. She had to leave for work at 7:30. She would get up at 5 a.m. and from 5 to 7, make that pool immaculate. She'd vacuum the pool. She would, you know, skim the pool. She did all the, like, level testing and chemicals herself.
Apparently, those things are a real bitch to handle.
Yeah,
I thought
are.
You could just let the water sit in there, but no, you gotta, like, put poison in it.
It turns green in, like, 2 days.
That's crazy.
Well, and it gets worse because of what happened this one summer when she was particularly obsessed with it. It was, like, the year right before the last year we had it, before she said screw it because she was just so upset at the
situation. It's like the one thing that she can control. She's like, God damn, at least this pool's really nice.
My mom, one day, and, like, we told our neighbors, like, if you want to use the pool, like, as long as my kids aren't in it, you guys are welcome to use it, because we knew our neighbors didn't have air conditioning. It was one of those summers where it was like 105 degrees
yeah.
every day for the month of July.
Right.
So like it was cool, but like that's one of the reasons she kept it so immaculate. Like she knew there was going to be people using it all the time. And one day she slept in. So she was having problems with the chemicals. The water looked cloudy and she couldn't figure out why.
Mm.
She took it in for testing.
I'm actually really nervous to hear the answer for this. Because I don't know
I don't think
what
you've
it
heard
is.
This story.
I haven't.
She was testing the water every day. She was trying all these different chemicals, and the water was cloudy, almost milky.
Nice.
And she's like, this should not be freaking happening.
Yeah.
I've literally done everything. It was to the point where she was going to specialty pool stores and having the water like sent to labs to get figured out.
Okay.
Couldn't fucking figure out what the problem was until one day she actually had a vacation, like a week off from work.
Yeah.
And so she slept in. So she didn't get to the pool until about 8:30
okay.
in the morning instead of 5. And as she's manicuring the pool, up walks one of our neighbors.
Oh no.
He has a towel. A bottle of body wash and a bottle of shampoo.
Dude, I'd be so pissed.
My mom goes, "What you got there?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just gonna, you know, quickly rinse off." And she goes, "What? That's shampoo and soap." And he goes, "I know. I do this every morning." And she goes, "What? For how long?" And he's like, "Oh, at least a month.
One.
I've never had a problem with it before."
How dirty of a person are you? To clean yourself in a backyard pool.
Oh man,
that's fucking disgusting. Like, what is wrong with
that?
You?
That was bad. My mom's like, you need to go. You're not welcome anymore. And he's like, oh come on, it's not a big deal. And she's like, it is. She spent hundreds of dollars on chemicals and tests trying to get that pool.
It's running. Arguably the biggest deal that's ever been. You know, like that is awful. Like, what went wrong in your life where you're bathing in a pool in someone else's backyard? It's not even your pool.
Your pool, you're just jumping in there for a quick bath. I'm concerned because she did say he did not have swim trunks with him.
Was he just like in his jeans and be like, I'm gonna hop in here real quick?
Sure.
Oh, so the towel was around his waist.
Well, he had clothes on. but I don't think he was getting in the pool with clothes.
That's disgusting, dude.
Yeah. Especially because, okay, it would have been one thing. Like, it's none of this is good. But if you're going to skinny dip in your neighbor's pool, at least be a decent person and do it between the hours of 3 and 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's... like, this story is getting worse and worse.
It just gets like, grosser.
Everything I'm hearing, like, is just... is worse than the sentence before it. I hate this story. I hate this story so much.
It's okay. He can't do it anymore.
Was he at least hot? You know? Like, that's fine if they're good looking. I mean, I guess. Why would they be? Right?
No. This was the same neighbor we frequently found passed out hanging over our fence.
I wonder what the Venn diagram is of like hot neighbors versus neighbors that like wash
that bathe in your pool.
Do you think they're two completely different circles?
I don't even think the circles.
Or is there like one tiny little intersection? You know, like somewhere in Hollywood, there's like Chris Pratt or something.
He just jumps in Will Smith's pool every day.
Yeah,
he's like, takes a bath.
Howdy, neighbor. I'm Star-Lord. I'm just going to bathe in your fucking pool. God. Or, you know, maybe like some Australian guy, because they're all very attractive.
I want to know how no one at his... Okay, so I guess his work was like... He did a job here, a job there.
Okay. I know exactly what you're... Yeah.
How did no one be like, hey, man, you smell like chlorine every day?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, he could just lie and say he showers at the gym or swims before work or something, which,
I don't know.
None of this makes
any
sense.
If you saw him, you would know that was not the case.
Oh, was he, like a larger fellow?
Well, the funniest thing was, it wasn't the last time he jumped in our pool.
Oh, so he just kept doing it.
So, he stopped bathing in the pool because my mom was like, if I find out you bathed in my pool one more time, I am calling the police.
Yeah,
like that is that's the line.
That's like castle law, I'm pretty sure, right? that's like you got to protect your home.
Just shooting holes in our semi-permanent pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. She was like, "Don't come back here again." And we found out that he did, but nice. We didn't catch him.
That's cool.
But he caught himself. You see, have you ever heard of what's called shocking the pool?
Yeah. Basically, oh no, that's not
basically,
good.
Basically, it's when you put in like it's like the equivalent of like 9 times the amount of chlorine and like all these other chemicals, and you cannot swim in that water for like 2 days, or else your skin will get chemical burns in it. Your skin will start to fall off.
As a quick aside, my friend had a pool, and he shocked it, and then his dad shocked it like an hour later, because he didn't know that his kid did it. And then another friend went and got in the pool and got chemical burns all over his nutsack.
That's what he did. Oh my God. Because the pool is only waist high.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God. And then we like noticed on his legs, like there were these big red blotches. And my mom just looked at him and was like, okay. Okay.
I would have put like mercury and shit in there, whatever it could to get him to stop bathing in my pool.
You know, he came to a fitting end. He's unfortunately no longer with us.
Is he dead or did he move?
He's dead? No, he's dead because someone, probably because he was bathing in their pool, bashed his head in with a hammer.
Oh my God, he was murdered?
I shouldn't be laughing. What the hell? Like,
we're recording this.
Same summer. It was like that summer, like after all of that happened, like my ma came to me and was like, hey,
just so you know,
well, she was like, hey, you know, so-and-so next door. And we were like, I was like, oh, was he in the pool again? And she's like, no,
not anymore.
Not anymore.
Hey, did they ever find the person that did it?
Nope.
Okay. So I know this is recorded, but what if your mom killed a man?
Because, He did move out from that place.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he was living in somewhere on Outer Drive.
Oh.
And yeah, it just one thing led to another. Shit. It was a home invasion or something like that. I don't know the details of it, but yeah, it got a
home invasion. That's cool. This podcast took a dark turn. Didn't expect there to be like a murder revelation that I've never heard before.
Because
usually I know all these stories, but I've never heard this one.
I saved this one just for you.
That's cool.
That was a wild summer, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a naked man in your pool washing himself, and then he just gets murdered, like, next couple weeks.
Like, honestly, what are the odds of that Venn diagram happening?
It's probably higher than you think. It's probably, like, way...
It's probably better than the attractive people and shower and bathing in your pool.
Yeah, it's probably, like, way closer than you think it is.
God. Just the idea that there's more than one.
More than
one person bathing in their neighbor's pool.
If you have a neighbor bathing in your pool, please write to us on our email. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, you can send us email. You can email us questions or email us anything you want to say about the podcast at tellingstoriespc. This letters P is in Paul and C is in cast.
Yeah, and PC as in podcast.
PC, yeah, yes.
At gmail.com. Yeah, I thought we were gonna like open with that, and then I realized we never said did.
We just talked to Facebook.
Yeah, and we talked about that person that told us to kill ourselves.
Yes. Also, cool. We're also on Twitter, at Telling Stories PC.
Yeah.
Basically, it's all Telling Stories PC. That's how you can find us. We'll have a link tree posted on all of our social too for you guys, so you can. Make sure you always have access to our podcast, yeah, whichever podcasting service you
send
use.
Send us some hate mail. Maybe we'll read it on the air.
Yeah, I think next hate mail we get, we read that on the air. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'd love to get some hate mail. that won't severely depress me at all.
It feels really good.
You can send us good stuff, too.
Yes.
Not likely.
Not likely.
Yeah, hate mail is much
more likely. And frankly, the odds of us reading something nice on air... You gotta catch our attention.
Yeah, it's gotta be like it's gotta be really nice.
It's like we should call the police.
Yeah, so let us know, or you can send topics that you want us to talk
about.
Yeah,
if there's anything you want to hear, you want to ask us any questions, please send them in.
We've got a very varied experience. I guess it's awkward to say that.
We've been all over.
Yeah, we've been all over.
So that's our plan. We're gonna keep bringing you guys stories. You know, just like these that are just kind of off the wall because...
Yeah, it starts off kooky, then it gets into murder. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
And there's going to be a lot more murder.
Yeah, there's like, over the years. Surprisingly, way more murder than you think. Yeah. It's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, people die all the time.
Not me.
It's something that everybody has in common.
That they're going to die?
Mm-hmm. I think about that a lot.
I'll tell you what, though. I want to live... to like 112.
Do you actually want to live that long? Have you met an old person?
Yeah, I want to live that long, and I'll tell you why.
You know it sucks, right?
I'm banking on a few things.
Okay.
I'm banking on some therapies coming out that are gonna let those last, I guess you'd probably say, with my health conditions, those last 40 years be a little more tolerable.
Yeah.
And I also promised myself that after I turn 100, till I die, I'm talking like Yoda.
Okay. That's incredibly weird. So, you know, my old job,
yeah.
I dealt with primarily old people.
Understandable.
They're not happy. Like, most of them want to die, but God won't take them, as they tell me. They're like, why won't he just take me off of this earth already? And I'm like, sorry, Ethel, I don't know what's going on, but I'm here to get your blood work.
See, I'm just planning on, like, winning the group death pool. I'm going to be the last one.
You probably will, because we've all bet against you.
Yeah, everybody. And I don't blame you guys, because it was a good bet.
Yeah, yeah.
If you had to guess, it's probably me, which is why I want to win.
I just don't think you want to live that long. You know, everything, literally everything sucks.
Do you know one of the reasons I want to live that long? I don't know what happens after. Like, I like to think I know what happens after, but you don't know until you're there.
Are you talking about, like,
after you die? Like, if nothing happens, well, that sucks.
It's probably, like, right before you were born. There was nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a really depressing episode.
it's so bad. Yeah. So, well, in that case, then I definitely want to live to 112. I want to live through, like... the next crazy thing.
The next crazy thing. We've had a whole year of crazy things. You're going to live until like next week?
No, I want to top this.
Okay.
Do you know why?
What?
Because when the next thing happens that's clearly worse, okay. I want to pretend that all the other stuff that I went through was so much worse, even though it was mostly just me chilling in my apartment watching
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
Like, my kids and grandkids are going to be really bored when they ask me, like, what did you do during the pandemic? Like, I feel like I'm going to have to make up stories.
Yeah, it's like
Uncle John and I recorded a podcast a few times. I watched a lot of TV and ate a lot of, like, delivered food. It was great. It was actually, honestly, how I wanted to live my life.
And also, we robbed stores and, you know, like...
like, yeah.
Yeah, we're foraging.
Well, so that was, like, the real story. But I want to, like, I'm going to, like, fluff it up like our parents and grandparents did for all of the crazy things that happened in their lives.
It's like a Mad Max car. Like, you're like, I had to run down the zombies with my car. And...
these maskless people, yeah. Just, all you could do was just put them out of their misery. Like, I wanted to get weird.
Yeah, okay. You can make it weird.
I feel like that'll be good. I tell you what I really can't wait for. I can't wait till my kid tells me, oh my God, I haven't done anything this week. I have to go to Billy or Susie or whoever their friend's house. I'd be like, oh yeah? Well, your mom and I were locked in the house for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we couldn't leave.
We did nothing. We just sat here and waited for the end.
If we left, we died right away.
If we left, we would have just died.
I remember in grade school, like, we had, like, spring break or something. You know, like, we got that mm-hmm. 1 week off around Easter. And one of the kids in our grade was, like, having people over. He's like, you know, it's the last time we can do this before summer vacation. And it was only, like, 2 months away. And I was super pissed because my parents wouldn't drive me. I guess when you're a kid, you just don't, like, think about anything ever.
You don't understand.
Yeah, like, time has no concept to you. And now that I'm, you know, closer to the end, I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's, I need to do more things because I'm probably going to die soon.
Yeah, you know, the one that really caught me off guard is my parents would always do the, like, I'm done driving for the day. And, like, in my head at, like, 9, I was like, what's the big deal? You sit down in the car and you take me to the place I need to go and you pick me up. Like, that's not that big of an inconvenience.
Right.
And then I started driving.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, anytime anyone asks me to drive them somewhere, I'm like, I can't do it. I just don't got it in me.
See, if I'm going to go somewhere, I prefer to drive myself.
That's fair.
I don't I don't know if you've seen our friend group, but they drive like shit. They're so literally bad. Insane. I don't know how these people got their license. Some of them didn't. Like, so me, when I was in that bad accident, you know, I'm like, well, that's going to happen right away as soon as I get in the car with somebody else, especially
it's gonna be their fault.
Especially you. The day after my accident, we had to go pick up my x-rays.
I'm blowing through yellow lights and making turns in front of cars.
There was oncoming traffic, and you're like, I can make it. I'm like, no, you can't. And you're like, I can.
You were a psych major. You've heard of immersion therapy. That's all I was doing, man. I was like, you know what? He experienced this traumatic event. So what I'm going to do
is
I'm going to just put him through a series of potentially traumatic events so we can fix his brain. And then he's not going to have these problems anymore.
Yeah, that's cool. It totally didn't mess me up for years after that.
You definitely still don't close your eyes every time we do a Michigan left.
Yeah, my hands don't get hot every time I go through an intersection. Everything's fine. Everything's cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Things are bad.
Have we talked about when you had that accident on the podcast yet?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Because, I mean, I remember bringing you food after, like the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty messed up.
Yeah. And stubborn. And really stubborn.
Yeah.
Look, we've been friends for a long time. So I expected that you would let me help you. Like, you'd let me in because, like, we're friends. Like, we're that close.
No.
And that wasn't the case.
No.
I found this out, friends. Because when I came to visit him after work the next day and he needed help around the house, I let myself in. And I hear him in his bedroom going,
Yeah. You should have seen me earlier in the day when I was going to the bathroom for the first time since.
You got 6 broken ribs, a broken ankle, and a broken wrist.
Yeah, it turns out you can't squeeze. when you have six broken ribs. And you just gotta hope that you things are cool down there.
Things are fine. It's just nature figures itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I wasn't expecting. I expected to find you like on the floor, unable to get up. What I found instead was you completely naked, still partly wet because you couldn't totally dry yourself, trying to put your boxers on by yourself.
Yeah, dude.
That was a sight to see.
Yeah, well, I didn't let you in my house. You just walked in. You literally broke into my house and saw me in a compromising position. The door was not open. You put in the garage code. I didn't let you in. I wasn't ready to let you in.
Well, you should have thought about that before you gave me the garage code.
I gave it to you years ago. It's not my fault you got an eyeful.
Well, that's to say the least.
Yeah, like one eye. One eyeful. Maybe if you squint.
Oh, man. Yeah. And dude, I'm going to be honest. I would have helped you. Like, it would have been weird. Like, we wouldn't have been able to talk for a while after.
If you even took one step closer to me when I was in that position, I would have fought through the pain to do everything I could to get you away from me. I would have been so pissed.
Well, and then I'm like, all right, well, he's clearly not going to let me help him. So I'm going to just go and, like, fix him a plate of food. Maybe he'll have a chance to calm down and realize that he needs help. And that didn't happen.
No.
No, instead, from the living room now, I hear,
yeah, it hurt really bad.
You're trying to put your socks on.
Well, when your ankle's broken.
And your ribs are broken.
And your wrist is broken. It's not easy to do.
I will say, you didn't accept any help.
No. Nah.
The most help you accepted was letting me drive you to the hospital to get all your records and stuff you needed.
Yeah.
And then you didn't let me drive you after that.
No, I didn't, because you almost fucking killed me in the car.
It was fine. Did you die?
No. You know what's funny is, so the week after that accident, mm-hmm. right, I was like, me and my girlfriend were driving down Gratiot here.
Yeah.
And we were in Michigan left, and I was like, it's crazy, you know, like, I'm always worried that another accident's going to happen. Literally, the second I got done saying that, you just hear a fucking boom, and a car comes flying up on the grass right next to us. Like, the car flipped over, and I was like, oh my god. I'm not kidding. Like, literally a second after I got done talking, it was like an explosion went off. It turns out...
You're just willing all this shit into existence.
Yeah, I'm very powerful, I guess. Yeah. So, like, it turns out what
causing
happened...
Causing domestic disputes, crashing cars that you're not even involved with.
Dude, so we were in the turnaround lane, right? And on the normal road, there is, like, you know, little side streets that come up to it mm-hmm. with stop signs. Turns out the person that was coming off that side street was doing like 45 and just blew through a stop sign. Oh, no. And then he got T-boned by a car that was going 45 on the main road, and they flipped the car over.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That dude, cars are terrifying. The fact that we let like 14-year-olds drive cars.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even trust them to vote. And that's like a once every 4-year commitment. And though I'm aware that it's more than once every 4 years,
no.
We can't even get them to come out once every 4 years. Yeah. So
the one election is the only one that matters. Everybody knows that.
It's like, hey, you can't make decisions for yourself. But what you can do is you can get behind the wheel of a 2,000-pound vehicle and drive it 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour.
As fast as you want to go.
Really as fast as you want to go, as long as you don't get caught.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. You ever hit black ice?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
That's a terrifying experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not cool.
I was leaving my girlfriend's parents' house one time, and I was coming up on the intersection there on Little Mac and 13 Mile.
Yeah.
And I had this asshole in a lifted truck behind me who wasn't going to slow down because... It was snowing, like, white out, can't see more than 3 feet in front of your car. And he's got those, like, the lights where they also come up on top of the truck.
Oh, yeah. So he just blinded everybody.
And he's got the brights on, so I can't even see.
He's got, like, the Jurassic Park Jeep lights. Like, just in case a Velociraptor's in the road, like, he's going to fucking see it before anybody else.
And he is 6 inches off my bumper.
Nice.
I can't see anything. And I'm trying to, like, speed up just so he's, like, not going to hit me when I slam on my brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to yeet around me,
okay,
fishtail, almost clip me as he's going around and blow past. And by the time I could actually, you know, get the stars out of my eyes, I was about 10 feet from the intersection and the light turned red.
Ooh.
And I'm going 35 miles an hour and I slammed on my brakes and nothing happened.
So that now that's terrifying. So I remember
I was going through and I looked both ways and it happened in slow-mo as I saw the other cars that were like coming in to scissor, like right, smash my car.
Okay.
And I'm like, here we go.
I'm dead.
Here we go.
I'm dead.
And both cars miss me by maybe an inch. And I'm like, I'm not driving in the snow for a while.
It's crazy how easy it is to accept your death. You know, like when things like that happen. So I was driving. This is when I hit black ice that one time. I was going, the speed limit was like 45. I was going 40 because it was, the roads were awful.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's a red light coming up. And it's like far away, you know. So I hit my brakes with enough time to stop. Like it definitely gave me enough time. And it's just clicking away, and I'm not slowing down at all. And I'm like, and like literally in 2 seconds, like, well, I mean, I had a good run, you know. I'm in my 20s, like it's been cool. Time to die.
Time to go.
Time to die. And then I hit some snow, and it slowed down. And unfortunately, I'm still here.
Aren't anti-lock brakes great though?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I'll tell you what, my first car. My 2005 Ford Focus, it was the like decked out edition that was owned by like an old 70-year-old woman who put like 15,000 miles on it over a decade.
I forgot you had that car.
That was a great car because it was basically just a boxed-in go-kart.
Yeah. Isn't that the one that like caught fire?
No.
It could have caught fire at any moment, though, wasn't it? Like that was you took one... it into the shop and you're yeah, like, hey, like
this is going to explode.
That's cool. Very cool. I like that.
That was the one that when I picked your girlfriend up to go meet up with you for something, and I turned the radio off to like have a conversation, and she goes, "What's that clicking sound?" And I went, "I think I'm going to turn the radio on now."
Yeah, yeah.
You always like, I don't think it's supposed to make that sound,
dude. So this was years ago. I was driving my mom's minivan. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was badass, right? I was driving this 15-year-old minivan, and I was going down 13. Like 13 a mile?
Yeah.
And you, I don't know if you remember how shitty that road used to be. I hit this pothole that was probably like the size of a pool table. I hit it going 50 miles an hour. I hit that shit so hard. The entire like undercarriage of the car smacked on the road and bounced up. It was like a car accident. Like it was so loud. And I literally went, Jesus! And I just turned the radio up.
Just turn it up and just pretend it didn't happen. But yeah, on that car... That car had heated seats.
Nice.
That car had
it did have
automatic
seats.
Windows. That car was decked out with everything. The one thing it didn't have, anti-lock brakes.
That's cool. I don't know how that happens. You know,
I don't either. It was 2005. I thought they'd mandated it by that point.
I think they did.
And yeah, no, these were not anti-lock brakes. So I got to learn in my first car how to pump the brakes.
Yeah.
It took me so long to break that habit.
My first car, do you remember? The one that was destroyed?
Oh, yeah, the Cobalt.
Yeah, the little Cobalt. It only had 2,000 miles on it when I got it, because I bought it from a blind man. Which is cool that he wasn't still driving, because he had his license. He could have driven if he wanted to. He was a licensed driver.
Terrifying.
Yeah, but he, you know, he didn't go anywhere because of the blindness. And
I feel like they need to start doing, like, after a certain age, and I don't know what that age is, and I know there's ageism rules and all that stuff, but at a certain point, they got to start doing, like, yearly or every other year assessments of, like, should this person be allowed to be behind the wheel of this murder machine?
This is a huge can of worms that I don't think
we you don't want to go into.
Yeah, I don't think we can open this on the podcast right now. Maybe when we're bigger, we'll do that. But that first car, no power windows, no power locks. I don't even think it had power steering. Which is like, how the hell did this old man, like, dude, those wheels were hard as hell to turn.
So bad. That car was so rough.
Because that was like 60 pounds ago on me, and I
You know. Used to get so mad when I would intentionally unlock the doors because you had to reach and hit the button down.
I'd get so pissed. None of you guys did that shit on purpose too, just to make me mad. Like, someone's gonna steal my cobalt.
Someone's gonna break in and steal. Oh.
Like, oh, no pop.
Oh, they're gonna steal your empty pop cans.
All right, listen.
or candy wrapper.
Listen, that car was immaculately clean. My later cars were messy. That car was super clean. So if they broke in, they would see it had no power locks or power windows. They'd be like, I don't want this one. I'll get something else. It did have a radio. And air conditioning.
Do you remember when my dad's car got stolen at his gig when we were in high school?
Yeah.
I don't know why they stole it. It was this old minivan. It was like a 1998, and this is like 2010. And he'd parked it on the street by where his gig was, and he walked out, and there was a pile of broken glass.
Nice, that's cool.
And like 6 months later, they're like, "Hey, we found your car on 94."
Yeah.
They're like, "Do you want it?" And he's like, "Is it drivable?" And they're like, "No."
No, like, something has given birth in this car in the last couple weeks, and we don't know what it is. Like, we cannot identify it.
Dude, they took the doors. Like, they left just there were no wheels on the car. All of the, like, the engine was gone. They literally just left the hull, I guess you'd call it, just on the side of the road.
That's...
And the funny part is who knows how long it was there before a cop finally was bored enough to be like, you know what?
I guess I'll check
that like 9 times.
I guess I'll get it cleared.
I guess I'll check that one out.
There's a car like that on my way to work at my exit. It's been there for months now. I'm like, damn, is someone going to come take care of this?
What's really crazy is you hear about people who just like their car breaks down.
And they just leave it.
That's it.
They the just leave done. It there.
Like, come on. Come on, guys.
You can't. Don't just leave your car don't there.
There's a big problem, I guess, at airports. I was reading an article the other day where people who, like, this was pre-pandemic that I read this article. This was actually probably like six, 8 months ago I read this article. But there was a problem at the airports because one of the things they were trying to do was clear out all the abandoned cars.
How do they just, like, forget where their car is at? Like that Seinfeld episode where they're like, where did we park the car?
No, apparently what it is when these people go on, like, these, I'm just going to buy a one-way ticket to Europe.
Oh, and they just leave their car
And it's
there?
Like, yeah, they had this beater car that's only worth, like, $600. And they're like, well, I got to get to the airport. And they just park it in the lot. And then they just leave. But because of rules with, like, airports and security and all that stuff, it's, I guess, virtually impossible to tow a car, like to get the court order to tow a car off those lots.
That's crazy.
For travelers. So there's just hundreds of cars at every airport that are just abandoned there forever that they can't do anything with.
Jeez, man. I usually have friends drive me to the airport.
Yeah.
One time we took like the shuttle service or something. Like, it's not a shuttle. It's like a guy in his car and he drives you to the airport.
It was an Uber that you paid more for.
Yeah, we paid like $60. And dude, this guy like had like typhoid or tuberculosis or something. He was coughing like every 15 seconds and they were like meaty coughs, you know? And I'm sitting behind him like, oh fuck, like on my way to Disney World, I'm gonna die in Disney World. That's cool. But he would cough so hard, and I was like, I worked in the hospital. I'm like,
you need to go to the hospital.
I'm like, dude,
this.
Like, look, you know, here's your money, but seriously, go get some insurance and go to the hospital.
Get me to the airport, and then go to the nearest.
Yeah,
hospital.
Drop me off first, and then
and then go take care of your shit. Because like, I got a flight in 4 hours.
I got a flight to. Yeah, I love that. Like, my parents, you know, my flight would be at 2 p.m. They're like, you got to get there at 7 in the morning. I'm like, why so early? That doesn't make sense. Why are they all like that?
So I found out almost the hard way in Atlanta that sometimes
Atlanta's,
you need to be there.
Atlanta's different. Atlanta's the biggest airport in like the country.
This is true. When I was in New York, I had to get a car service because like you can wave down a taxi or call a taxi, but it's New York.
Yeah.
And I'm like a working poor, like mid-20s white guy. So the likelihood of me being able to hail a taxi in a normal amount of time, it just wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? There's a service. I can just put in the details online. I don't even have to talk to the driver. They're just going to be like, John Paul, I'm just going to nod and get in the car. Well, I put in my order and somehow their system wonked out and it booked it for 2 days before. But like I was booking it the night before my flight. So like it's like the 15th and I'm booking it for the 16th. And they booked it for the 13th.
How does that even happen?
That's what I said, because I'm waiting. I had checked out of my hotel. And I'm waiting there, sitting. My car should have been here 45 minutes ago. Oh, I think I'll call them. And they're like, oh, our system messed up. I'm like, all right, well, I have to get to the airport in like the next 2 hours. And I'm going to LaGuardia. So like it gets pretty hectic over there. I'm like, I need to get there. Now. And they're like, all right.
Well, when you're in New York and there's all those people, like, I understand leaving super early, but at
the... you don't know. Okay. And I was in like, I was in the center. I was at like, Grand Central Terminal where I was getting picked up. It's literally the heart of the city.
Right.
And, they're like, yeah, we'll get a car over to you in like 10 minutes. Like, okay. And my driver pulls up and he is a fucking dweeb. He's like 90 pounds soaking wet with like glasses and a pocket square.
Okay.
And in New York they also like everybody honks at everybody. That's how you do these things. And I can't stand that. That's the one thing, like if I'm in the car I don't want the horn to be honked.
Okay.
Because it stresses me out.
Right.
Because where we're from, you're rolling the dice every time you hit that horn.
Them's are fighting words.
Them's is fighting words. Someone might shoot you in the face.
Yeah.
So, and they just do it all the time. So as I'm getting in the car, I'm like, dude, if you can get me there, and we're like 35 minutes out, but I know like to be safe, I have about 20 minutes to get to the airport.
Okay.
I'm like, listen, man, if you can get me to the airport in 20 minutes and not honk the horn once, I will give you 100% tip on this ride.
Hell yeah. He's like, and he goes, all right.
He looks over his shoulder. He doesn't even look all the way at me. And he goes, done. At that point, he's doing some Tokyo Drift shit in this like Escalade that he's got.
He took his glasses off.
He literally was drifting to get onto the freeway. I'm like, I'm grabbing the oh shit butt handle in the back seat. Like, oh my God. And he got us there in 19 minutes and 45 seconds. He gets out of the car and opens the door for me and goes, was that good enough for you, sir? I'm like, holy shit, man. Yeah. And I made it just in time for my flight.
There you go. It reminds me of that time when I was building my first computer. You remember? And the power supply was broken. And like, I really wanted this computer to work. So the computer parts store was closing in like 20 minutes and it's 25 minutes away. And I got us there in 11 or 14 minutes or something.
Turns out that a four-cylinder Chevy Cruze can hit 90 miles an hour on a normal side street.
Sure can. Sure can.
Screw those children that were trying to just have a nice game.
There's no children. My mom always says that. She's like, watch out for the kids. I'm like, Mom, there's no kids playing in a main road.
People don't let them play in the main road anymore because they're worried that I'm going to be going 90 miles an hour. I'm just going to annihilate their child.
Someone like me has already hit a kid. You know, like, it's not going to happen again.
It's like that, you know, they're separate events, but you know, statistically they can't, it's not even statistics. It's just math.
Yeah. It's not statistics. It's just math. And that kid's going to be pissed when he hears our podcast.
Yeah. He's not going to be happy. Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about me all the time. And we do. And we do. And we're sorry.
Yeah.
We're sorry. We're sorry.
Well, on that note, I think that's a good point for us to sign off. Go ahead and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ telling stories PC.
Yeah. Or
on Twitter at telling stories PC.
Yeah. Or send us an email too.
Send us an email at tellingstoriespc@gmail.com. We will be happy to read those on the air and answer any questions you have.
I'm not allowed to be on the Twitter or the Facebook, but I do have email access. So if you want me to see it, send it to that email, tellingstoriespc@gmail.com.
And like, for the most part, like, ask us whatever. We'll answer.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. We'll bring it up.
We'll make you famous. Guaranteed. Guaranteed to make you famous.
100%.
All three of our viewers will know what you want to talk
about. They'll know exactly who you are and what you said to us.
Well, you know, we won't say your name if you don't want us to. That's
yeah,
cool.
just let us know. It'll be fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Just please talk to us. We're running out of topics.
we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, you know, we started talking about murder already.
we're already there.
What is this, our fourth one?
Something like that. Yeah.
Someone's already died. Talk about my near death experience. We really need help, so please send us something.
Yeah, reach out. We'll be coming with, we're planning on releasing episodes on Tuesday and Thursday every week moving forward. So keep a lookout. We'll be posting our link tree on all our social. We're available on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts. Soon we'll be on Google Podcasts as well. There's a bunch of them that we're up on. Pretty much if there's a podcast service that you use, there's a place you go. We're there, so
take that, Joe Rogan.
We don't do anything exclusive.
Yeah, not yet.
All right, on that note, I'm John Paul.
I'm John. Thank you. Thank you so much.